Would you rather walk in the light or walk in the dark? That's what we're going to talk about on today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We've got a really great discussion lined up for you. You're really going to enjoy it. Today we're going to talk about what it means to walk in the light and to walk in darkness and how this relates to the Christian life. So Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are in a series on 1 John. It's a little book in the New Testament, but it's an important one because a lot of confusion has come from misinterpretations of that book. So we're clearing up the confusion in this series, and I think Bob and Sean are doing a great job. Let's jump right into the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. I'm Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob Wilk.
Well, we've been going through the first epistle of John, which is all about fellowship with God. And we're in the second chapter and at the 7th verse. Now, if you wanted to catch up on these previous episodes, go to iTunes and look up Grace in Focus, or go to our website, faithalone.org/radio, and you'll find all the previous episodes there. But we've been talking about this idea that Christians, after you become born again, you should grow in your knowledge and your intimacy and your fellowship with God. 1 John is all about the principles, about knowing God and walking with Him and abiding with Him, and how to tell the difference about whether you're genuine or fake in your spirituality. And we're in verse 7 right now, so let me just read a couple of these verses, Bob, and then we'll start talking about them. So verse 7 says in chapter 2, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning." Well, wait, what is that? What is he talking about?
Okay, yes, this is a bit puzzling. One thing to note is he calls them brethren here, a term reserved for born-again people. He also calls them my little children in verse 1. And throughout the book, he calls them brethren, my beloved brethren, my little children. Clearly, these are born-again people. And what he's saying about in the beginning probably looks back to the beginning of their Christian experience. And so what he's most likely saying is, when you first came to faith in Christ, you were taught about the need to love one another. And you were taught that this is foundational to the Christian life.
And he's saying, this isn't new. You know this. Right. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, that you should be loving your brothers. Because in the previous verses that we discussed, knowing God, first of all, means having His love perfected or matured in you.
Right.
And one of the signs of having His love perfected and matured in you is that you're loving other people, just like God loved you.
And walking as Jesus walked.
And walking as Jesus walked, which is, He loved people.
In love.
Right?
Right.
And so John is saying, you know this. You've heard about this commandment.
Yeah, but John, you know, John likes polar opposites.
He likes light
and darkness. He likes to talk about life and death. Well, now, he talks about no new commandment, but then he turns right around and says, wait a minute, it is a new commandment.
Right. Then he says, okay, but you know this, or do you? Verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you. There you go. There's a new commandment now. Which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Wow, that's very figurative language. Okay, help us unpack that.
Okay, notice you've got darkness and light. Darkness is the realm of Satan. Light is the realm of Jesus, the kingdom of Jesus and the kingdom of Satan. And basically what he's saying is, look, yes, Satan is the god of this world, but the darkness is passing away.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is beginning to shine more and more in our world. Now, ultimately, what he means is, what John means, we're closer to the rapture at the time John is writing than the time when Jesus ascended to heaven in his presence. And so he's anticipating the fact that Jesus is coming soon, and we're right on the cusp of the millennium coming in. He's saying, look, it's a new commandment in the sense that this commandment is for the age that is coming. The age that now is not a time of love, not for most people.
This might seem counterintuitive to a lot of people, because with just reading the newspaper and watching TV, it sure seems like the darkness is spreading.
Right.
Recently in New York City, they passed a law allowing abortion basically up to birth, you know, and then we just had a politician in Virginia, the governor of Virginia, announced that basically he believed in infanticide. I mean, sure seems like the darkness is growing.
And what John means here is not that over the course of church history, we're going to see increasing levels of godliness in the world. The world has always been the world. The world used in the sense of that which is in opposition to God will remain in opposition to God. But what John is saying is that we're right on the edge of the coming kingdom. Now, it turns out it's been 2,000 years since he wrote this, right? Mm-hmm. So that seems like a long time. But in the Lord's sight, 1,000 years is as a day. So it's really only been a couple of days since John wrote this. He says that we're in the last hour. And in terms of eschatology, Christ is about to return at any minute. He could have returned in John's lifetime. He didn't. But every generation, he could have returned in that generation. And so every generation should think the way John is talking here, that the true light is already shining, the true light referring to Jesus.
Right. So John is taking a, instead of a worm's eye view, which we might take by watching TV and newspaper, he's taking a bird's eye view, a prophetic view.
Right.
And in a prophetic view of history, we are going in a certain direction.
Right.
And in that direction, the darkness is passing away, and he can just see the shining light of Christ already.
Jesus saw Satan falling even before the cross. He knew Satan's defeat was imminent, even though the ultimate casting of Satan into the lake of fire will not occur until much later.
Right. So John sets up this contrast that we can be in one of two places. We can be in the darkness or we can be in the light. He says in verse 9, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now."
Right.
So he's saying, did he know that Christians get angry and have grudges and even hate other people? What is John saying about that?
It's you're not in fellowship with God.
Right. You're in darkness. You might think you're in the light. You might think that you know God and you're best friends with Jesus, but you're in the darkness if you hate your brother. Because this is the most basic things a Christian can do in the Christian life is to love.
Now, we should point out this is not the same thing as saying you like everybody in Christianity. Liking and loving are two different things.
Right.
You can have people that you don't get along with as well as other people, but you certainly don't hate them. You're wishing them well. You're praying for them,
yeah,
etc.
You're doing good to them, basically.
You're doing good to them.
And no matter how you feel about them.
And especially John's thinking in terms of the circle you're around, like in your local church, in your family. There, you are loving, you're not hating. Now, of course, it applies more broadly, but the people we know the best are the people who are around the most.
That's right. That's right. Those are the people God has put in your life to love, however you've met them, like the people at work, people at church, people in your family, the people on your street, the actual real people that you meet in your life. Those are the people God has called you to love. Love the neighbor in front of you, however you've met them.
Right. We're called to be lovers, not haters.
Right.
If we're haters, we're not in fellowship with God. We're in the darkness. But if we are people who are loving the brethren, then we know we're in the light.
And that's what he says in the next verse, verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light. There's this word abiding that we've talked about.
Right. He remains in the light. He's dwelling in the light.
Jesus talks about this a lot in the Upper Room Discourse. And one of the biggest words he uses is this, you have to abide, abide in me. And that's what John is talking about here. Can you just remind us what that means?
Yes, to abide means to remain or to dwell. I remember a book by Robert Munger. It's a little booklet called My Heart, Christ's Home. Imagine that our life is like a series of rooms. And we're allowing Christ to come in and dwell in every room in our house. And he said, so as Christ is dwelling within us and he has freedom to reveal areas of sin in every aspect of our life and he's freely moving in our life, well, then we're abiding in him and his word is abiding in us. And notice the end of verse 10, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. If you, Sean, are loving other people, you're not in any way a cause for those people to stumble.
Mm.
The only way you can be a cause for them to stumble is if you hate them. If you are not acting in a loving way, then you make it harder for other believers to abide in Christ. That's true in the family. It's true in the church. etc.
I read someone say sometimes the best form of evangelism is to tell people that you're a Christian and then don't be a jerk. just don't be a jerk. So if we're not being loving,
then that's a cause of stumbling.
We're not only hurting ourselves, but you're saying that we're actually causing other people to stumble too.
We make it much harder for other people if we're unloving. We've seen this, right? I mean, I've seen it in my Christian experience where at times I've pulled other people down. I really didn't mean to, but I did. And I've had other people have pulled me down and caused great difficulty in my life. And it was requiring a lot of prayer,
right,
and a lot of seeking the Lord in order to persevere when people closest to you turn on you.
Yeah.
Can't that cause a lot of pain?
Oh, absolutely. And it's just amazing. People will walk away from Jesus because one person, one Christian, was hateful towards them. That hateful action is all they can see, even though the cross is that's either true or false, completely
right,
independent about how anyone may act.
Right.
They will judge that event based on how someone has loved them or hated them. And so important to love people. Last verse. But he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. Hate prevents you from seeing, prevents you from understanding, prevents you from knowing.
And you're walking around in the darkness. And what John is implying here is when you walk around in the darkness, then you're getting hurt. You're stumbling, you're falling, you're hitting things, and your life is being hurt, and you're hurting other people's lives. So 1 John 2, 3-11 is calling us to love one another, to abide in Christ, to have His Word abide in us, to have His love mature in us. And if that's the case, then we're walking in the light where Jesus is, and that's the good place to walk.
Thank you, Bob and Sean, for helping us understand what walking in the light and walking in the darkness is all about. That concept is such a visual one. In fact, it inspires me. It makes me want to grow and be able to walk in the light. If that's how you feel, I'd like to encourage you to come by our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of resources to help you grow, or walk in the light, so to speak. We've got a great print magazine. We've got videos, podcasts, blog posts. In fact, we do national and regional Bible conferences around the country. This is a time that we could meet up and talk face to face. We would love to see you at one of these events. You can find information about that on our website, faithalone.org. In fact, you can even give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry to help us continue doing what we're already doing. We would love that. You might have questions or comments, and if that's the case, I totally understand. In fact, we love hearing from listeners. So let me give you our email address. It's really easy to remember. It's radio@faithalone.org. Radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you. Well, Friday is finally here. We've got a weekend ahead of us, and I'm hoping that your weekend is a great one. We'll be back on Monday to continue this series in 1 John. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.